Here's the reason why people need to be born again. It's not a slight thing. God is rich in mercy. His love is amazing. That song we sang today, like his love is like an unforeseen kiss. His passion, he loves us. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to be saved. But we must be born again because we used to be dead. We were dead. We were separated from God. We were aliens from all his promises. Chapter 2 tells us we were alienated from that. But God had this overwhelming abundance of mercy, overwhelming of grace, overwhelming of goodness and his love to us in Christ, and he forgave all our sins. And that's why I was thinking about my sins, saying, oh my, God forgave me all that stuff. He's never going to bring it up again. I was a bad person, but God's mercy was so great. And I even tried to go back to my former life, and I've said many times, God came back and got me again. Because he's rich, he's wealthy, his very nature is merciful, and he got us. And he brought us in. And if you're still dead, you're still an object of wrath, and God is still reaching out for you. God still wants you to accept his gift, but you're under a curse. You're under judgment. You're under wrath. Right now, we live in the gospel age of grace where God is extending his hand out to humanity. That's why it's so important that we share the good news at every opportunity we get, because you must be, someone say must be, born again. Otherwise, you're dead. But Talon, you were dead, but you're not. And what do dead people do? Dead people, think of that movie Sixth Sense, you know. I see dead people. You do. Every time you go out in the world, you see dead people. And dead people walk after the course of this world. Why are you surprised when dead people act like dead people? We get so sick. You can't believe what they said about me. You can't believe what they did to me. Oh, I can't believe. Why are you so? Dead people act like dead people. Amen? Living people, people that have been made alive, act like living people. This world is full of people that are broken, that are hurt, that are alienated from God, and those people, they get ouchy and grouchy, and they bite sometimes, don't they? We had today, everybody that raised their hand, things in your past that you did or someone else did or what someone's doing to you, that's because these are dead men walking, and dead people hurt because they're dead. They're walking after the course of this world. This world, at its worst, and I know, you know, not everybody, there's good people out there that don't know the Lord, but you know, as far as conduct, they know, not everybody acts horribly, but when people are dead, they tend to walk after the course of this world. Satan is very hard, he's very wicked, he's evil. This week I was thinking about, I hate to even say his name, someone posted something about Mr. Epstein, and I actually laughed about it, and I put a like, and when I got done, and there's no condemnation, because I laugh about that stuff. I see the humor in it. But when I stepped back away from it, I felt so sorry for that man. I mean, obviously the victims, yes, 1,000 times yes for his victims, yes. But I felt that man died in, how do you say, ignominy? Without any fame, without no reputation, had all that money, all that wealth, living on top of the world, abusing and probably being abused. He was a victim and a victimizer. The devil was making fun of him. The devil was making sport of him. The devil was causing him to hurt people and walk after the course of this world. He thought he was way up here living high on the hog. And then one day, judgment day comes. And that guy's reputation, people are laughing about him. They're, you know, like Epstein didn't kill himself, or which he didn't kill himself. But anyway, we won't go there. But I don't believe he did. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. What Satan wants to do when we walk after the course of this world, after the fashion of this age, that's the destiny that Satan wants for everybody in this room and all of humanity. He wants to make us a laughingstock. He wants you to walk after the course of this world. And what our dear brother Paul is trying to get at here is he's trying to get at, hey, we don't walk like the world walks anymore. We were formerly this way, but now we're new creations. We are new people. We have been made alive. You are no longer under the curse of the prince of the power of the air. you're not dominated by him. Your neck's not dominated by him. Your body's not dominated by him. You're no longer under that curse. You've been translated into the true prince, the prince of peace, who has been raised higher than the highest heavens. You're in a new kingdom. We no longer can walk after the course of this world. We've got a new kingdom. We've got a new ethic. We've got a new passion. We've got a new law. We need to remind the devil sometimes, I don't belong to you. I don't belong to you. We're not operating in God's economy. The first will be last and the last will be first. In God's economy, God gives grace to the humble. You go down low, go lower. Someone comes at you, you go lower. And they keep coming, go lower, go lower, go lower. God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. We're in a new kingdom. We're in a new economy. We're no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We're no longer bound by the things that used to bind us. I know some of you think you are, but you're not. You've been born again. Jesus lives in you. You're free. Someone say amen. Amen. Stay free. Satan is trying to deceive, and Paul tells you later, don't be deceived. He's trying to deceive us and keep us walking after our former ways, walking after the course of this world so he can keep us down and limited. He doesn't want you to step out. He wants you to stay in fear. He doesn't want you to operate in love where perfect love casts out fear. He wants to limit. He wants to put you in a tizzy all the time, getting us to live in our emotions, getting us to live in fear, getting us to live in doubt. So when you doubt, you do without. And Satan knows that. Why? Because you don't reach out. When you doubt, you do without because you don't reach out. Amen? When you have faith, You trust God. You walk after a new king and you walk after a new kingdom, and God begins to be the predominant thing in your life. He says, you followed the cravings. I just want to do a little teaching here. I'm really not trying to exhort. I'm trying to teach. Am I teaching or am I preaching? A little of both. I really want to teach. He says, you used to follow the cravings of your flesh. Folks, listen, here's the problem. This is why some of us get deceived. That word is not sinful nature, it's sarx, it's flesh. Do you still have a flesh? Yes. And that flesh will still, Satan will try to use it, or you'll still have desires that come up to you from the flesh. But is that flesh who you are? It's your dumb body. It's your stupid body trying to, you know, get you to do what your stupid body wants you to do. How many this morning almost didn't come to church because your dumb body told you to stay in bed? Come on, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Even our worship leader said she almost didn't come. Praise the Lord. Oh, sorry, Amy. Was that a secret? I'm sorry. That's just your dumb body talking to you. Guys, when you're at the gym. Uh-oh, I'm going to get personal now. Maybe I should be good. When you're at the gym and something walks in front of you and you get distracted and your dumb body wants to look. It's just your stupid body. Tell it no. Who's in charge of your eyeballs? That was Liam, wasn't it? Brother, you're telling the truth. Amen. Amen. Your body. That's good, Liam. Leave that in there. You are in charge, or it's either your body's in charge, your sarx, your flesh, or you're in charge of what goes on up in front of your eyes. Why? Because the predominant thing, Ashley, about you now is who God made you. It's what God says about you. That's why we can begin to take chances and risk and put ourselves out there and try and reach out, because we're not supposed to get our acceptance from the world. The world isn't even supposed to be our provision. The world isn't the one that has the final opinion. We're supposed to be able to walk by faith because we're not expecting the world to love us. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the enemy tries to slap you. We're not living by what the world thinks of us anymore. We're living by what God says about us, what God thinks about us. And folks, this is a progression. Does anybody know that? It's not. Amen, Liam. Brother, I want you on the front row. It's a little, get a little participation here. I love it. I do. I love it. Amen. No, we're even all these scriptures say things like man, grab this one and let it sink down into your ears. If you were here on Wednesday night, raise your hand. Remember what we taught about? Let it sink down into your ears. You are accepted in Christ, in the Beloved. You already are. I am accepted. The reason we don't have to have human acceptance, although we like it, it's good to be accepted by people. I want to be. If someone didn't accept me, there'd be no one in the church, right? We want to be, but you're accepted as a core value by God, right? You've been baptized by one Spirit into Christ. You're already there. You can't, this is why a lot of times we're trying to work our way into Christ, but you're already there. You can't work for what you already have. We have to work from a position of grace and mercy. I'm starting out. Don, when I step out, I don't step out because I want God to love me if I'm doing it right. I'm not reaching out to prove to the devil that I have courage. I don't have courage. I have Jesus. Amen? I don't have courage. I have Jesus. And if Jesus says to me, walk on the water, I said, Lord, if you tell me, I do this all the time. Lord, if it's you, I'll walk. If it's not you, help me to shut up. Amen? But Jesus, if that's you, this week I told you, and I didn't know if I was going to share this or not. I don't, but praise the Lord. I don't know if I should or not. But the Lord's always having me to step out. But if I step out for the wrong reason, the Bible says if we do things for the wrong reasons, we're just like a tinkling brass and a tinkling cymbal. If I'm always striving, trying to earn God's approval, God's acceptance, and I have to build my ego up and I have to do this. No, it's when we actually become vulnerable, when we let our egos die, when we're willing to step out and bear our cross, to take up our cross and walk after Jesus, to begin to walk in the Spirit, to walk after what God says. When there's a little bit of persecution in that sometimes, there's a little bit of risk. I heard that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, R-I-S-K. Lord, I believe that's you. If it's you, I'll walk. And God says, oh, it's me. And we start walking and stepping out. There's a little risk. But when we do that, we take up our cross, then the power of God operates in our life. The presence of God operates in our life. And Charlie, it is by grace through faith. Isn't that good news? It is good news. I was going to teach today on manifesting Jesus. Paul says, I have this treasure. And I'm going to say it too, Gary. I have this treasure. I have a treasure. Did you know that? I have a treasure. But I have this treasure in an earthen vessel, in a sarx vessel. What you're seeing is a short, a little bit skinny, slightly bald, or maybe majorly bald guy. And whatever you think about me, you think about me. But what I'm hoping is there's some treasure that comes out of this sarx, this earthen vessel. It's like the Ark of the Covenant. They put wood on it, and they covered it up and all this. And down underneath everything, underneath the outer wood encasement, there was wood on the outside, and they had gold on it for divinity. There's a lot you could say about it. But underneath all of that, inside of that ark, there was a treasure. God would come into that. God would come in to that ark. That's you. You have a sarx. You have an earthen vessel. God doesn't care about your weak earthen vessel. He has put gold inside of you. He has put a treasure inside of you. And when we step out and walk like it's true, Dana, when we no longer walk after the course of this world, we no longer follow the dictates of this world, but we're following Jesus, we're following what he says, then that treasure manifests. Paul says sometimes death works in me, but death works in me so life can work in you. I'm dying daily, he said, but I'm dying so Jesus can get out of this earthly little tabernacle here. Don't you want more of Jesus manifesting in your earthly body? Does anybody want that? It is by understanding fundamentally that you were something dead and you're no longer that. Paul talks about a new creation, a brand new man. And he says that you have been saved. And now God, in the Passion Translation in Ephesians 2:10, King James says, you're God's workmanship. The Passion Translation says that word is really, you're God's poetry. You're God's masterpiece. You want to know how much you are worth. I understand our old nature, our sinful self is abominable and not worth much. But do you know how much that you're worth to God? How many wants to know, how much am I worth to God? How much does God value? He values you to the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you ever doubt, I'm just not important, nobody cares about me, no one listens to me, I'm not heard, I'm not important, God values you at the price of the blood of Jesus. That's the estimation he put on you. When the appraisers came, Sandy, the spiritual appraisers came and they appraised you, they said, you are worth the blood of Jesus. Amen? That is your value. Folks, that has to be our core fundamental reality. We are worth the blood of Jesus. And what God did was when he made you, it says he made you a new creature or a new creation. He made you a new person. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. You've been made alive. And actually, you know, in Genesis 1:26, it says you're made in the image of God. That's what God did. He restored. Gideon, God is a restoring God. He's a redeeming God. He buys stuff back. He goes after it. That's why Jesus said to that woman that was, her back was bowed over. She had a huge curvature of the spine. Her back was bowed over. And he said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound 18 years, shouldn't she be free? Shouldn't she be free? Shouldn't she be redeemed? Shouldn't she be restored? She's a daughter of Abraham. We were originally created in the image of God, and when Jesus died and was buried and was raised from the dead and he made us new again, we have actually been restored back to that original image that we were in the beginning in the image of God. Amen. Woo, that's good stuff. Don't always feel like it on Monday morning, does it? I love this guy. I'm going to have to share part of my offering with this young man. Now I'm going to read in the Passion Translation. It's 11:55. Can you believe it? I like to keep it short so you remember at least one verse. Thank you, sir. So okay, this is Ephesians 4:17 in the Passion Translation. So with the wisdom given to me from God, I say to you, after all he said about being dead and now you're alive, about being an old person, now a new person, this is my advice to you. You should not live like the unbelievers around whom you walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Well, no wonder they hurt you sometimes. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession, among other things. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. Your Bible says the truth is in Jesus. And he taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful, deceitful desires that spring from delusions. I love that. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you in Christ and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life. Let me say that again. And be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within you as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness. And you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. We live, Charlie, in the realm of true holiness. Amen. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as those who always speak the truth, for we all belong to one another. And you can say a lot about that. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Someone say that out loud. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fueled with revenge, not even for a day. Don't give slanderous activity to the accuser. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any of you have stolen from someone, don't do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless those in need. Folks, this is a whole new way of living, and it's you. Unless you're not born again, unless you don't know Jesus, unless you're still walking after the course of this world. Paul said in Galatians, I was digging this out this morning. Paul said in Galatians that we should clothe ourselves with Christ. He says that you have been, when you were baptized into Christ, baptized into the Spirit, that's what he's talking about. He says you have, Galatians 3:27, I believe, you have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, is that a reality? That's a reality. That's true about you. You have. But in Romans 14, he tells you to clothe yourself with Christ. It's always from this position that Paul speaks. That's why some don't understand it. He says, you have been baptized into Christ. You have clothed yourself with Christ. Then he says, clothe yourself. In other words, take what God has done in you. Take that new reality. Walk after that. Don't walk after the former ways. Isn't that powerful? And that's everything, folks. That's fear. That's worry. Right in the, you know, some of you are battling sickness and you're going through right in the trajectory of your life, right where the, what's that expression? Where the rubber meets the road. Right where the rubber meets the road in our life, God wants us to live in the new and not in the old. If we're worrying, if we're living in fear, if we're living in anger, if we're living in our emotions, we're not living like the new people that we already are. Someone say amen. It's powerful. We've been recreated. We've been reborn. We're not supposed to follow the fashion of this age. And Paul uses the expression. He tells us that we should put on, King James will say, we should put on the new man. It's the new person that you are. The rest of our lives, Missy, is trying to find out, who is Jesus? Who is this person that lives in me? And how can I become more like this person that's already in me? Has anybody ever had Jesus try to bust out and you tried to hold him back? Boy, I have. Oh, Jesus, I can't do that. You know, woo, don't make me. I told you my story about the motorcycle gang. I'm ready now. The next time I see a motorcycle gang with 10 guys, I'm going to go right up to them and preach to them. I remember when the Lord was in me and he was moving me to do that. And I was like, whoa there, Jesus. Whoa, Jesus, you're going too far now. I need another crack at that. I'm getting ready. I'm learning. Folks, that's every place in our lives, where the crossroad that we're at. We got to make that decision. Am I going to live after the old person that I used to be, or am I going to live after this new knowledge that God says I am? And if I stumble, God will forgive me. If I mess up, God will forgive me. If I don't get it all right, God will forgive me. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to pursue this new life. It's called, Jesus said, follow me. That's how he said it. Jesus said, follow me. Take up your cross, follow me. And that's what God is saying today to us. If you've come short of it, welcome to the club. Get back up on your new man horse and follow the Lord. Let the dead bury the dead. Didn't Jesus say that? Let the dead bury the dead. Let that old life, let that old person you used to be buried. You say, well, Brother Brad, how do I do that? I want to do it. It comes, honestly, folks, I preach on it all the time. It comes from giving God a little time. Amen? It all starts in intimacy. It doesn't start with you working for it, right? It comes from you getting an understanding you're working from it. It's so much better to work from Jesus than try to work for Jesus. It all starts with a little bit of intimacy. It all starts with a little bit of seeking and knocking and asking and getting closer. I am so far from where I want to be because I've seen a picture of what it looks like to look like Jesus. And so I just keep knocking and seeking and asking, and I want more. How about you? Amen. I don't know. This room looks pretty saved. It really does. I mean, I know about everybody here. So, but I would hate to give this message, and I'm going to ask, is there anybody here? You say, Brother Brad, I'm not a new creation. I'm not a new person. And I need to be. I need to get in the gate of rebirth. I need to experience new birth. I need to become a new person so I can walk after Jesus. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I have power to live this new life. Like I'm saying, y'all look pretty safe, but maybe there's somebody here. Every eye closed. I just want to make it easier for that person. Say, Brother Brad, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm born again, but I want to be. I'm willing to humble myself, admit it, and come clean with God and receive Jesus today and start following after him. If that is you, raise your hand right now. You have to be. If you are not born again, the word says you are an object of wrath and you're separated from God for eternity. But that's not God's desire. That's not his plan for you. His plan is rich in mercy, rich in grace. If you need the Lord today, don't be afraid. I want to see your hand because I want to pray with you. That's it. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to hurt you. If that's you out there, come on. This is the best deal that you're going to get all day, I promise you. This is the best deal you're going to get in your lifetime. Say, Brother Brad, I don't know if I'm born again or not, but I don't want to leave here not knowing if I'm saved. If that's you, raise your hand. Come on, I need to see it. I'm not ashamed to give an altar call. I'm not ashamed. You need Jesus. I'm going to ask one more time.